Do you want to know how your early childhood attachment style is affecting your intimate and sexual connection with your partner? Then stay tuned. You're going to learn a lot today.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And, you know, we've been really lucky lately. We've had some incredible guests on our show and really helping us look at intimacy, looking at early childhood experiences and how they sort of affect the two. And so we really want to take a deep dive today.
Especially because we know that almost every couple that comes through our center or that reaches out does experience blocks, obstacles, challenges with physical intimacy and sex. And so we really wanted to do that link between early childhood attachment and adult intimacy and sex, which is what we're going to do today.
Yeah. So we're going to try to, you know, sort of draw that real clear line in helping you understand intimacy is a problem for couples, both emotional and physical and sexual intimacy, and understanding how the past has influenced them just in general is an important thing. And we're trying to link the two very directly.
Because the idea is we want to support all humans in feeling safe and healthy expressions of intimacy for themselves with their partner, because that's what freedom is. So we're hoping that this podcast will just create some, you know, reflection and thinking and maybe some ahas, some psychoeducation, so that all people can feel freedom within their body to express it how they want to with a partner that feels safe.
Yeah, because there's something like very unique about our relationship with our significant other, mm-hmm. with my partner, with my wife, Tara. Like, there are unique aspects of our intimacy, right, that we share
with nobody else,
with no one else. But they are really challenging to navigate over the course of our entire relationship.
And it's one of the hardest subjects for couples to talk about, even individuals.
100%. Right. 100%. So let's, like, come back to a basic concept in marriage therapy, in human development with our significant other. It's that our early childhood experiences frame as an individual how we're going to attach with our adult partner.
Yes, our primary caregivers basically, you know, create those emotional blueprints for us, if you will. And then later on, right, that shows up in our adult intimate relationships. And we're like, how do we do that? Yeah. Well, we're going to let you know today.
Yeah. And we each have, like, very unique experiences. Yeah. Your partner, yourself, there may be certain similarities, but oftentimes they're very, very different culturally, just the vibe in you guys' houses, maybe even generationally. Maybe there's a 5, 10, 15-year gap between you and your partner. There's all of these different things about how you grow up, and then you get together and you're supposed to just figure it out. You're supposed to just, like, be emotionally connected, talk about difficult things, have great sex.
Or the other partner triggers you and you're like, that's not supposed to happen, so this is not my person.
Absolutely. And so we can talk a little bit, just like briefly, a little self-reflection to help you sort of maybe wrap your heads around it. And I think, Terry, you were willing to kind of throw something out there.
I'll be brief here, because if listeners have listened to other podcasts where I have my ugly cry, like, you know that there's a history of physical trauma, sexual trauma, emotional neglect, you name it. And so I grew up in a home where touch was for sure not safe. It was actually very abusive, and it was also very inconsistent. And so, like, now in our relationship, like, there has been in the past, even more so than now since I'm doing all the work, like, confusion and fear around what touch is, what it means. Sometimes I freeze, and it's like, that will happen even with someone I feel very safe with. So that's kind of an example of, like, my childhood attachment and trauma and how it shows up with someone that I even really trust. Yeah. Like, you've touched my back and I will literally freeze, like, because our body creates this blueprint with touch.
Yeah. And then mine, I feel like, plays out in like a weird way from just emotional stuff, but all the way to like physical and sexual intimacy, in that like we just didn't talk about a lot of stuff. Like it was like just kind of like you just keep cruising and you just kind of deal. And yeah, there was conflict now and again, but there weren't like deep conversations about emotions. You know, that wasn't really happening. And so like I've always struggled in our relationship of like having a blueprint for difficult conversations where I have to stay present emotionally for long periods of time. Like it just like kind of like overwhelms me, and it can kind of, even though I'm a therapist, you know, and I understand this stuff, I still have like sort of this like, you know, emotional body or this person who grew up in a certain way that just gets really overwhelmed by it. Also, and
you
I think
freeze
this is a,
too.
Yeah, I freeze in my
we
own
both
way.
Freeze.
I like sort of silently freeze. I don't jump and startle. I just sort of like,
you can see
I
it in your,
or
eye, your eyeballs freeze.
You know, sometimes I'm like, I got to go outside and power wash something, you know.
Oh,
and
I like that.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's an act of service
positive.
And freezing.
Sure. And then the other thing, and I think a lot of people struggle with that, I think I've struggled with over the years, is like there was just no discussion of like sex.
Yeah.
Or if we ever did, it was super uncomfortable and it was really brief. And so then in an adult relationship, like long-term adult relationship, it's just like no blueprint.
Right.
You know, no blueprint on how to discuss like, hey, there's things we got to figure out here that aren't going exactly the way we thought they were going to go 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, so let's do a nice kind of breakdown of just like attachment theory. We won't go too super deep, but we do have many different attachment podcasts that you can just type in search attachment relationship innovation podcast, and we have a ton of them. But so early childhood attachment, there's secure, anxious, avoidant, and disorganized. Secure attachment is all about you have the safe connecting trust with your caregiver or caregivers. There's a consistent meeting of the needs. They show up. There's physical and emotional safety. Anxious attachment is very much like maybe needs were met very inconsistently, like your caregivers were either really there or not there. A lot of anxious attachments can be with parents who are alcoholics or ragers. It's like they come in.
Or even just like workaholics. Yeah. Not, sometimes they're present, sometimes they're not present.
Yeah, they come in, they love you, and then they're yelling at you. Or maybe your parent had like a mental health diagnosis and like anxiety disorder, and like kids just pick up on that. And so it's really confusing. So anxious attachment. Avoidant attachment is just, it was not safe to be vulnerable, to express feelings, and so they have learned to avoid anything that feels uncomfortable. So for example, let's just say you have, you know, parents who are constantly fighting with each other, and you walk in and they're screaming, you get out of the room or whatever, and nobody comes to talk to you afterwards. Maybe that little kid is just hiding in the closet. They learn like that's not safe. Big emotions aren't safe. I'm going to go hide in my closet. I'm going to shut down.
Yeah. Or avoid.
We're being very general here. I
mean. Or avoidant can come from things like just that you just never talk about it. That you just come from a very like sort of, you know, engineering focused family, and you don't ever talk about emotions. And if you have an emotion, it's like, what's wrong? Why are you feeling that? You know, it's just you learn not to have complex feelings and definitely not express them.
And there's a huge sense of independence with avoidant attachment, and there is a big sense of codependence with anxious attachment. And now that's just the final one is disorganized attachment that usually stems from trauma in early childhood. Disorganized attachment is like the person really wants to feel close to somebody because they really want that connection. But, oh my gosh, if I connect, something really bad will happen. So that's where trauma comes in. If there's physical abuse, sexual abuse, a lot of trauma, neglect, abandonment, whatever that might be, it's like that push-pull. I really want to be close, but you can't get too close to me or I'm going to push you away.
Yeah, it's very confusing, right? It's like a desire for closeness, but then a fear of closeness, like a fear of abandonment, but not wanting to be entirely alone. There's a polarizing sort of feel to it.
And now let's connect the dots to what we just said to then adult intimacy and sex. And we also have a case study. We changed names, of course, but we really wanted to get you guys a good picture of what this could look like. So in secure attachment, connecting the dots to adult sex and intimacy, right? There's just this trust, open communication during sex, eye contact. It just feels really good. So if you grew up and you had a secure attachment, I'm jealous. That is awesome. You feel free to like have your needs, let your partner have their needs, share what you want, be receptive to what your partner wants, eye contact. Oh, I can't wait to get there one day. Yeah. I'm still working on that. Anxious attachment, there's that fear of abandonment, right? So a lot of people who have anxious attachment will seek reassurance through sex. There could be a hyper-focus on the partner's cues, like, oh, my partner just looked away. My partner's not looking at me. What's happening, right? There's just a ton of insecurity that can be happening during physical intimacy, sex, and or just in general. Avoidant attachment, what that might look like is that there is no emotional connection present during sex, during physical intimacy. It's just like the physical act itself because of the fear of vulnerability. So there's like a shutdown during intimacy.
I think another common thing in the avoidant attachment is like the person who's like not connected emotionally the rest of the week and then connects during sex. And that's like their time. They feel connected. But then there's this other side that's just not there.
And then with disorganized, there's just like, it's like a ball of confusion. It's like sometimes you can feel really connected and another time you can feel really like disconnected with your partner. And it's just like this confusion because it's going to want to be close to you. But then when you get too close and too vulnerable, I can't be close to you anymore. So it just looks like a consistent, volatile roller coaster. A lot of trauma bonding here. That's a whole nother podcast. But
So I think we have a little case study where we sort of blended people together and made up a couple of names. But this is such a common dynamic, right? I think a lot of you guys are going to identify with this one, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about a couple. We're going to call them Lisa and Mark. Now, Lisa has an anxious attachment style. She craves closeness. She sees sex as a way to feel loved, and it really reassures her. Now, Mark is your typical avoidant attachment style. He enjoys physical intimacy, but he feels overwhelmed in other times by the emotional demands and even afterwards the closeness that maybe that Lisa is feeling. So when they have sex, Lisa wants deep eye contact, she wants emotional connection, and she wants loving words before and after. Mm. Mark, on the other hand, he tends to turn over and go to sleep or check his phone. He just kind of moves on. To him, the intimacy was enough. To Lisa, the intimacy is just a part and she needs more, otherwise she feels rejected. So what happens? This dynamic plays out over months, years. Lisa starts to overfunction emotionally. She's constantly asking Mark around their sexuality, like, did that feel good? Are you okay? Did you enjoy that? Because he just turns away. She thinks they should be continuing to connect. Mark, he feels smothered. Mm-hmm. He pulls back even more. And over time, their sexual relationship, it becomes tense, right? Lisa feels undesired. She's just desperate for connection. Mark feels pressured and begins to avoid intimacy altogether. It's just too complicated.
Yeah.
Why even go there? Now they're caught in a dance. Lisa's chasing, Mark's distancing, not because they don't love each other, not because they don't want a great relationship, but because their attachment systems are reacting to each other and they both sort of perceive a different kind of threat. So they begin to work with us in the relationship renovation. They begin to heal this dynamic. Lisa and Mark need to understand why they're reacting the way they are.
What are the patterns?
Yeah, they need to stop seeing the other person as flawed, as Lisa as needy, as Mark as detached, and instead begin to notice, like, these aren't flaws. These are just protective strategies. These are just early wounds from their attachment experiences. For Lisa, this meant learning to self-soothe, right? Not looking for Mark's soothing to make her feel okay and to build the inner security so she's not relying on sex for reassurance. Mm-hmm. For Mark, it's the opposite, right? It means leaning into emotional vulnerability, recognizing that closeness won't engulf him and that the emotional connection doesn't have to feel threatening, right? So with support, they start to communicate more clearly about their needs before and after sex. They can share, even if it's an uncomfortable feeling. If Mark's like, wow, I just feel like a lot of overwhelm right now, even him opening up in that way to her is soothing because at least he's sharing. And maybe also through rituals of connection, like cuddling for 5 minutes afterwards,
daily check-ins, no,
checking in emotionally before intimacy, checking in throughout the week when they're not having sex. This helps them both feel safer, makes them both feel seen, and over time shifts the cycle from reactive to responsive into a more securely attached relationship.
Okay, so let me just like as you're talking, right? I'm like, oh gosh, this is why I love being a therapist because it's so complex. Like there is a reason why couples struggle with intimacy, because if there was an easy answer, it would like be in every book and we'd all be okay. Like it's complex. So even listening to this podcast, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go talk to my partner about that. And it's the whole reason why we created the model that we did, Relationship Innovation, because some people will come and they're like, we just want to talk about sex. And I'm like, okay, great. See how that works. The model that we go through goes through like, how did we grow up? How did our parents show us love? What was touch like? How was it modeled? How did you defend yourself against big feelings when you did have big feelings, right? And then we go all the way. So that way we can understand each other better. We can understand ourselves better. We can feel safe and empowered. We can let our defenses down. So just know it's not this easy fix, just like listening to one podcast or reading a book. But oh my gosh, have we seen amazing things happen, and we're having more couples on our podcast to share their stories around how they went from just this kind of like this case study to feeling so free in their bodies with each other, you know, still get caught up in hiccups because we all do. But it's just like just hearing you say that, like just know it's complex, but there's a lot of hope.
Do you want to feel more emotionally and intimately connected with your partner? Then we have the tool that is exactly right for you. We have a program called Relationship Renovation at Home. And it is an amazing way for you and your partner to have a structured way weekly to work together.
Because we deserve awesomeness in our relationships.
Just go to our website, relationshiprenovation.com. At the top, there's a link to At Home program, and it will give you a free lesson if you want to just check it out and see if it's something that works for you and your partner. We know it will make a significant positive. Tara and I are going to take a pause right now in our conversation to share some important information about some things we're doing here at Relationship Renovation. We are launching a private coaching program where we're going to take on 8 couples and we're going to work directly with the two of you. It's Tara and I together. We're going to be meeting with you for sessions. We're going to work through the relationship renovation model. And there's a few other ways in which we're going to work with you that I think are going to be like super effective.
So get ready for the we transformation. We can handle this. We can communicate with compassion even through difficult times, and we can feel more deeply intimately connected.
So if you're interested, all you got to do is reach out to us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. We'll schedule a 30-minute discovery call. We'll hear about what's going on for you guys. We'll tell you about how we're going to work with you. Again, we're only taking 8 couples, so reach out to us, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, as soon as possible.
We really cannot wait to begin this journey with you.
Impact on your relationship. What we're asking you to do as listeners, trying to figure out like, hey, how do I integrate this? And what's actually usable? Because I am identifying certain aspects of my relationship that fit into this anxious attachment or this avoidant attachment. It's really this ability to like pull back and see the dynamic, right? Yeah. Is see like, wow, I crave things that my partner seems to struggle with. So how do I understand my craving? You know, how do I understand like my even like anxiousness around that craving, anxiousness around not getting that need met. Like, how do I look back and understand that more deeply? And then how does my partner do the same? Like, how do they understand their reactions, their side of this problematic dynamic between the two of us, and see where its seeds came from, right? Because, you know, this is sort of the next thing we're sliding into, is that there are just messages we receive as children, right? There are messages we receive about communicating. But then in this case, we want to talk a little bit about, there's messages that you receive about your body.
Touch.
About your sexuality.
Pleasure.
About touch.
Shame.
Yeah, that just, they sort of like create our operating systems as adults.
When like messages around our body or pleasure, when they are like affirming, right? When they are talked about, when they are normalized, when they're emphasizing safety, curiosity, bodily autonomy, healthy boundaries, naturalness of pleasure, people tend to develop a more integrated, confident, and connected sense of self in sexual and intimate experiences. But conversely, right, messages laced with shame, fear, or secrecy, which is tons that I got, whether that was in school or at home, that leads to dissociation from the body, difficulty with boundaries, hyper or hyposexuality, hypervigilance, suppression, you name it, right? So even being able to ask yourself and or your partner these questions, like, what early messages did you get about your body? Were they shameful? Were you encouraged? Did people talk about pleasure and like what happens when you start to have your sex hormones get developed? Or were you shamed about it? I mean, I used to be a child and family therapist and a crisis therapist way back when. And so I worked with a ton of adolescents and their parents. And these adolescents would come in. I'd worked with like a lot of boys. And they would be like, my mom caught me masturbating. And she told me if I ever did that again, I'm going to be in so much trouble. And then the parents would come in and be like, Tara, you have to let them know. And I would be like, oh, hang on. We have to talk about what is healthy here and what's not healthy, right? Because some parents have different belief systems around, is masturbation okay or not okay? But we also know there's that like healthy sense of pleasure in sex hormones in the body. And so it's like, I remember like I'm 25 at this time thinking like, how do I help this child and these parents have this like discussion that feels really healthy to them?
Yeah. And it can be as like, you know, like that's a pretty distinct experience for a kid, like be exploring his body and having a reaction to it. But then it can be like also like more subtle too, in that like, what was nudity like within your family? Mm-hmm. Like, were you in a family where nudity was absolutely not acceptable and not even really talked about? Or were you in an environment where like maybe there were some boundaries around nudity that felt like, even as a kid, like, God, this just doesn't feel quite safe. Yeah. And so there's all of these gradations of experience from, you know, that extreme of like a really negative, negative experience all the way to just like kind of unspoken dynamics or things that feel a certain way, but then they're not discussed. And you take that as a kid and you translate and you adapt. And so we don't even have to get deeply into each one of them. But what we can say is these are great discussions for you and your partner to begin to have.
Yes. Talk about really quickly, just to overview, shame-based messaging, right? Where you people like, good people don't do that. Your body's dirty. You shouldn't touch that spot. What was the messaging you received about your body, your touch, right? What was the type of education or silence around physical touch, pleasure, sex, intimacy? So many people don't get any education around healthy intimacy, as yet we're expected to have this amazing sex life when we enter a long-term relationship, or even when we just start dating and we're adults, right? And then also boundaries, right? Over sexualization, inappropriate exposures. What were the boundaries like? What did you learn from those boundaries? Is there a suppression of desire because boundaries were blurred? Is there confusion around it? Like, none of this is your fault. You get to just say, what was I taking in as a child that might still be affecting, blocking, disconnecting from my body? Because a lot of people are disconnected from their body, dissociated in many ways, especially during sex. I mean, you can ask how many people look at each other during sex if you don't have secure attachment. Yeah. I mean, there will be some, yeah. You know.
So I think that's a great segue. So we talked a little bit about how like childhood messages may have affected or could affect an adult, right? And so now we want to look at like, what are some signs? Like, what are some things that you can look at about yourself, that your partner can look at about themselves, that might say that early attachment is impacting your intimacy? So one very common one and very mm-hmm. subtle one is just that you have a difficulty asking for what you want sexually, intimately, emotionally, you know, that it's just difficult. You don't know what it is, or you don't know how to say it.
You might not know how to ask, or you might not know what to ask, or you might not even know like that it's like really healthy to ask.
Yeah.
Some people just think like, oh, this is just what I do. Like they don't even think about their own sexual needs, desires, or what feels good to them. It's about their partner. So that could be one sign. Yeah.
You might also feel a sense of emotional disconnection, right? You might just struggle to be like, what even is that? What is it to be emotionally connected during physical intimacy? You know, and that's a great question for you to ask your partner and the two of you to really listen to is like, what does it feel like? Mm-hmm. Do you feel emotionally connected during intimacy?
Fear of being too much or not enough. I see this a lot, right? Yeah. That like, what if I don't please my partner in the way? What if it's too much? Again, like it's just that insecurity, that's confusion around all the stuff that can lead to that.
Yeah. And then you might really see sex as like a validation, that it is the thing that says you are connected. Mm-hmm. You might seek it as like as a younger person in your relationships, yeah. You might have noticed. And then if there's a lack of it, it can lead to this like sort of trembling, like insecurity that like, man, if we are not having sex, if we're not having intercourse, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, which would definitely block your ability to communicate about it in a healthy way.
And just to, again, our body stores these early emotional imprints, right? And it is called implicit body memory. So even if someone is an adult and they intellectually know like, oh, I like trust this person is safe. Like I know what healthy sex is, you know, that sex is natural and valid. The nervous system might still react differently to that as what our brain is saying because of those early stored memories. So just like be aware of that, be curious about it.
Well, I love that because what that's saying is like this process that me and my partner beginning to be able to talk about these things, so much of them are instinctive responses. And we think our partner is doing something, they're holding sex back or they're not emotionally connecting with us before or after sex. And we think that it's just like they're doing this thing to hurt me. And what we're saying here is we're saying like, make the unknown known, mm-hmm. have these conversations because your partner might not even realize like, hey, once we've sort of like finished, you know, making love, whatever, it seems like you just go away. And I don't want to, I'm not meaning to criticize you. It's just this feeling I have, like, I don't know where you go. And your partner might not even know it. But if you find the way to phrase it, to talk about it at the right time, it might lead to them being aware of something that they're not aware of. And then you dig into these questions around like, what did you learn about physical intimacy? You might get to this place where you really get to know each other much more deeply, which is intimacy.
Yeah. I think it's why people love our intimacy series because we start with like the early childhood attachment and messaging. I mean, there's like a 4-part series. I mean, it takes like a month to get through, but I think couples love it because like, where do we start? I'm like, oh, you can start right here once you've developed some emotional safety skills, right? Because that's really important. But yeah, we're talking healing and growth, moving towards secure attachment. That's like our passion. We've done it in our relationship. We went from avoidant, anxious to secure. High five, hon.
There we go.
And so it's just those things, right? Awareness, what are the patterns? building emotional safety with your partner through awesome communication skills, recognizing where your defenses lie. Therapy, always amazing. Love it. Somatic work is huge, right? Like, where in my body do I maybe freeze? Where do I feel numb? Somatic work can be really good at healing stuck body messaging from early childhood messaging.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal here, right? Our goal is we notice there's a problem within our relationship, right? Like that's what so often happens. That's why people come to therapy. That's why people get a relationship coach. There's something that's not working, right? And then here we build insight, all the stuff we shared with you about exploring early childhood attachment and noticing things within your sexuality or your sexual relationship, and then knowing that we're going to build awareness. Through that, we're going to build safety with one another. We're going to go back maybe to an earlier podcast episode about communication skills, and we're going to use healthy communication to talk about difficult things. And I love this part. We're going to grow together.
We're going to grow together. We want to end with two questions that you can ask yourself, journal, ask your partner. I feel like they're really empowering questions. Again, it was hard to pick just two because I have 150. But the first one is, if you could go back and offer your younger self one message about your body or pleasure, what would it be? And the second one is, what does your adult self need now in order to feel safe, connected, and empowered in your body?
I love those. Those are two.
You guys need more, just reach out.
Two fantastic questions to sit down with your partner and open up this really, wonderful discussion and an understanding of each other and how you both became who you are.
EJ, if you could go back and offer your younger self one message about your body or pleasure, what would it be?
I think it would be something around it's okay to talk about it. I think that is something that just wasn't
about your body or pleasure. Like, it's okay to talk about all this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That it is okay to talk about it. It's okay to even think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely some strong messages that were you don't even think about it. That's how I'd answer it. How about you, Tara?
Mine would be your body is sacred. It is not an object for other people to use. I would go back because I didn't know at the time, but I would go back and tell my younger self, your body is sacred. It is not an object. Okay. Second one.
All right. Second question.
What does your adult self need now in order to feel safe, connected, and empowered in your body?
These are tough questions. What does my adult self
need in order to feel safe, connected, and empowered in your body?
I think for me, it would be that a space needs to be created. We had Zach Brittle on the other day, and he asked us this question, how long does it take for you to be ready to, have sex with your partner? And I think my answer was very brief, but I think maybe it would be really healthy and good for me to actually create a more sacred space, a more intentional space, because then it wouldn't feel like it's just this thing to do or this thing and it might make it much more connected, appreciative, present. I think that's something that my adult self really needs to work on.
I would say, I'll say the question one more time, what does your adult self need now in order to feel safe, connected, and empowered in your body? I would say that I get to give myself permission to feel that. I never had permission before. Other people got to I didn't know how to have boundaries. So I get to give myself permission to do whatever the heck I want to do, and it's all okay. Yeah. Mine is permission. All right. This was a heavy, deep, intense episode.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
A lot to it. Reach out. Feel free to ask us questions. We can even go deeper on a topic, especially I think boundaries is a huge one. I work with so many couples who just had such enmeshed boundaries growing up around sex and hypersexuality. And so they just didn't know, and they got together in their 20s or whatever. And you know, there were no boundaries modeled. So how do you have boundaries within sex? And so then, you know, just now 20 years later, right, it feels like, oh my gosh, intrusive and bad things have happened because of that. But it's not your fault. We're just kind of going with what we know, what we were modeled in that implicit body memory. Remember that. Our heads know one thing, our body tells us another. And so that's what you pay attention to. If you're noticing freeze, numbness, shutdown, tension with someone you feel safe with, that's a sure sign that there's something else happening.
Yeah. I mean, I just wish for all of you listening and us, like, the ability to talk more about these things, you mm-hmm. know, the making the time and space to talk about where we came from,
yes.
how it affects our physical intimacy, what we want, what we need.
Yeah.
So we so appreciate it when you share our show. Yeah. You know, please tell another couple, another individual about it. We've gotten so much feedback over the years of just like how much it's changed people's relationships. So please share our show, review, follow us. All of that like really helps in just getting the word out and just helping us build all the happy, healthy, loving, intimately, sexually connected
playful
relationships as possible.
Yes, thank you. Again, reach out if you have any questions. And thank you so much for listening. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Singing on the train, me and you listening to the rain, me and you, we are the same.